Welcome to the Republic News Network. This is June 20th, 2013. Your host, Kelby, is he's working on some really important stuff, and so he has given us a recorded message. He says it's very, very important that you hear that, and that he won't be able to be with us tonight. So before we get started on Kelby's message, I do want to say that the song you just heard is the Star Spangled Banner from the band Madison Rising, who is our guest for this evening. Actually, we met with them earlier this week and recorded that interview, and we'll be replaying it for you tonight. Before I get started, I'm going to unmute my friend Art Van Alstyne and ask him to begin our call with a prayer this evening.
Is that me you called?
Yes, it is.
I thought I was listening, but I thought, well, when you said my friend, I thought that, well, that must be me.
That was you.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to be together tonight, and we are just welcoming all of the good things that are happening that you're creating around the country, Lord. Things going on in Colorado and California and Oregon and Arizona and Nevada and everywhere. So a lot of people are standing up, and they're standing up because it's the grace of God that's doing this for this great country to bring it back to life under God and his commandments and his things that he gets for us in our inalienable rights. So we just ask you for your wisdom and courage and your endurance to get this done for you, and we ask you to keep us safe, help our finances, give us good health so that we can run the course with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Art. I appreciate you always being there for me.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
You're proud to do it and then humbled to do it.
I know you are. Let freedom ring.
Thank you, dear. Let freedom ring, too. I'll bring my bell to the next meeting.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the message from Kelby.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Republic of the United States of America. My name is Kelby. And that a beautiful day this summer of 2013. This is an introduction call for the people of the United States of America and its counter-corporation, its employees, law enforcement, 14th Amendment citizens, and the men and women of our armed services. The Republic government called the Republic for the United States of America has been re-inhabited. We are a bunch of law-abiding, peaceful Americans, just like you. We simply found some truths, and we're sharing these truths every single week, and they're so important. I'm trying to get this to the rest of the world. So get ready to hear things that sound impossible and get ready to understand that you're about to be a part of history. I welcome each one of you to the Republic of the United States of America. Normally we open up in prayer. We're doing a special call tonight in which the opening is going to be changed up a bit. And after we, after I talk, we're going to open up in prayer. The reason is this starting dialogue is probably the single most important thing that one could ever be conveyed when entering a republic. I want to start with helping you understand just a few simple topics. One is political status. Another one is contracts and jurisdiction. Another one is receiving benefits. And the last is controlling the birth certificate. Political status, if you focus on nothing else, it's absolutely everything in this world. You can align yourself with any entity you want. You are the being living under God, and no other entity has authority over you. In my opinion, the rich or the elite, whatever you want to call them, have a structure in which they've set up a capacity in which they can live in a tax-free environment, in which rules or laws do not apply to them, in which they behave sovereign. And the people that I know, and I've been doing this for a long time, the people that I know that are behaving in a fashion where they've aligned themselves to a political status of, let's say, California 1849 Constitution, which is the Republic for California, those people that have no contracts tied to the corporate state of California or the corporate United States live, breathe, behave, act, sovereign in a capacity. In my opinion, there is no such thing as a sovereign citizen as an oxymoron. In my opinion, there is no such thing as a sovereign here on the earth. There is only one sovereign, that is God. However, in the book of Genesis, God said, go out and have dominion over all the earth. Dominion, by definition, in their own law books, Black's Law, means sovereign authority. So we are ordered to have sovereign authority over all the earth. But there's two kinds of people in this world. There's kings and there's servants. That's the bottom line. There's debtors and creditors. There is no other way to look at it in a world of commerce or in a world of status and jurisdiction. Your political status is absolutely everything. You cannot say that you have the rights guaranteed under the Constitution by the Bill of Rights if you have contracts with the United States Corporation, because those contracts usurp any rights that you think you may have. Now, people can bring to the table those rights at any time. Those rights are not granted by men. Those rights are granted by God. So you can have your political status at any time you want, and you can play the contract game, whether it be with a court, a district attorney, the IRS, or anybody, based on a simple fact that I call ping pong tennis or a fight. Now, I prefer to talk about it as ping pong. Ping pong is everything in the game of contracts, because every single time you walk into a court in this country, you are not entering an Article 3 or an Article 6 court. You are entering a court of equity. And when they try to make you do a plea, go read the word plea. You're in a court of chancellery. You're in a court of equity, proving you're not in a court of record or an Article 3 and Article 6 court. It is a contract court. You need to look at a court house like a place where courts are played. You have your court and they have their court. You're the living man and they are the corporation. They are trying to bring your contract into their court, meaning you. You need to look up Rundle versus Delaware. Corporations cannot sue a real living man. All civil and criminal are civil cases. So you cannot be sued as a real living man. So what they try to get you to do is to admit that you are the birth certificate. So much so that when you go and you ask for a certified copy of your birth certificate, you literally, they have a form and it says, please fill out this form. Who are you? And there's a box and it says self. You admit when you get a certified copy of the birth certificate that you are the birth certificate or the equivalent. Isn't that interesting? Every single application in this country, and I mean every one of them from a government standpoint, are for status and jurisdiction. You are nothing more than the agent, the authorized representative for the birth certificate, better known as the Ens Legis Trust equivalent. And you cannot have a contract with the United States Corporation and say you are a sovereign unless you've properly controlled the contract. This is critical. Your political status is critical. Let me give you a story. Border crossing with a common law identification. Stopped the guy for 45 minutes. His friend who had a driver's license was cuffed. My friend who did not, who had a common law ID, was not cuffed. They put him in a status in a cell. They tried to do everything they could to contract with him. He would not contract with them. After about 45 minutes, he got the Mr. treatment. That's when they realized in the system who he was. He was one of the creditors, or one of we the people, one of the government. Remember, the people are the government on by and for this land. So they walked back in and they said, Mr. So-and-so, we are extremely sorry. Here is all your stuff. You may leave. This is a border crossing from Mexico to the United States. He said, my knife is not here. Where's my knife? He said, I'm sorry, sir. We will go get that and be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, your political status to be in the common law is everything. In my opinion, if you are pending any charges, criminal, civil, IRS, phony court, real court, doesn't matter. You need to revoke your driver's license. You need to prove jurisdiction and political status to the common law, because you cannot do it any other way. This is the most important conversation I have ever said on Republic Calls for 3 years. Do not forget what I am saying. Revoke your contracts and understand that if you want to be a king, you need to behave like a king. You do not need permission. I've got a positive story to tell. I'm not going to say his name. He's an elderly gentleman. I did not ask for permission. He is on this phone call, and he is on many of the Republic phone calls. He's an active senator in the Republic. We've been helping him for a little over a year, okay? What I'm about to say is absolutely a praise statement. If you know who you are and you can behave in a fashion that can play the game properly, you too can win in the game of ping pong, and that's all it ever is. It's not contracting with them. After three separate cases filed against this guy, all three of them beat. All three of them won and dismissed, and I'm so proud that he stuck it out, and he won. And for the first time in a year, he can breathe. And you know what? They were ruthless to him. They tased him 7 times. They came on his property and served a daytime warrant at 10:30 at night, unlawful. The local sheriff, the local chief of police, and this officer were standing there watching an elderly man get tased 7 times. This cop showed this video as a pleasure instrument to his buddies down at the law enforcement. This cop's got another thing coming. You do not treat the elderly of our nation this way. Ladies and gentlemen, political status, your jurisdiction, and not contracting with people you don't want to contract with is everything. And on that, I yield the floor.
Thank you so much. That was Kelby's message from last week. He's asked that we play that all this month because he feels the information is very, very important and he wants to make sure that everyone gets it. This evening, as you on the email you received, we have a special call this evening. We earlier this week, we had an interview with Dave Bray. He's the lead singer of Madison Rising, and it was a really good interview. Madison Rising is an American patriotic rock band that promotes the principles of liberty, independence, smaller government, and personal responsibility. Their mission is not only to make great music, but also to send a message that the American culture is alive and well. They believe that they can help revive patriotism and use their music as a way to get to today's youth and get them more excited about politics. And that's something that we need to do in the Republic, is we need to start relating to the youth of this nation and teaching them now. And this is a way that we might use to bring our message to the youth. And with that said, let me get this started. I am pleased to present our interview. Welcome, everyone, to Republic News Network. This evening is a special night for us. We have David Bray. He's the lead singer of Madison Rising with us. He's from a conservative hard rock band. And Madison Rising is a pro-American patriotic rock band that promotes the principles of liberty, independence, smaller government, and personal responsibility. Their mission is not only to make great music, but to also send a message that American culture is alive and well. Madison Rising believes that they can help revive patriotism and use their music as a way to get today's youth more excited about politics. And Bray, thank you for joining us this evening. It is our honor and pleasure to have you here. And I also want to say happy birthday to you today, and thank you for spending some time with us.
Well, no worries. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me, and I appreciate you, taking an interest in Madison Rising. That's pretty cool. Thanks for having us on.
Well, thank you. You know, I came across your Star Spangled Banner Challenge on Facebook a couple of months ago, and I believed exactly 100% with what you're trying to do. And of course, I put my like on there, and I've been trying to spread your message to others as well. And I've been following you on Facebook, and it's been a fun ride.
Well, thank you, and once again, thanks for that virality is how we do what we do. It's the ways and the means of the future. And it's one of those things that we kind of count on. We count on word of mouth, and we count on people, spreading the message for us, with social media and things like that. So thanks again.
Well, thank you. So tell us, how did Madison Rising get started as a conservative rock band?
Well, it's actually a brainchild of a guy named Rich Megredeshian. He actually came up with the idea. We were all kind of sitting around thinking, you're a musician, and he's a businessman, I'm a musician kind of thing. And it was one of those, ideas where we sat and thought for a minute, it'd be great if there was this conservative rock band. It was sort of just an idea, I guess you can say, just like much of anything else, that it would be really great if they had a rock band out there that we all liked, that, still sung about the stuff that we all believe in. And, it just didn't exist. And it was one of those things that we really wanted to put together. And, the end result is Madison Rising, and it's what we do. And, we're pretty proud of how we went about getting it done. I mean, we've gone a long way in about 2 years, and it's been quite a journey.
I read on your website that Madison Rising, the name, came from your favorite president.
That's also true. Well, I mean, James Madison is pretty much the man. I mean, small stature, but I mean, big with words. He's quite the wordsmith, obviously, Federalist Papers, and he helped author the Constitution. So, I mean, that was basically the idea. To encapsulate the constitutionality of America in a name. I think that James Madison, obviously Jefferson, are two of those names, but Jefferson Rising just didn't sound as good.
I agree. I think I like Madison Rising myself.
Yeah.
Well, that's part of what we do with the Republic. What we're working on is we defend and support the Constitution. So that's extremely important to us, and it's a good name. So tell us about your version of the Star Spangled Banner and how that came about and what the Star Spangled Banner Challenge is.
Okay, well, I'll start with the Star Spangled Banner Challenge first. It's starspangledbannerchallenge.com. If you go there, you can kind of check up on it and see what's going on. It's something that we put with the song because it obviously isn't just a song. It's our, you know, our nation's anthem. So we wanted to explain kind of why we did what we did on the Star Spangled Banner Challenge, because we had people like Bill Press and, you know, John Tosh or whatever his name is from Tosh.0. I can't remember, Tom or whatever. But, you know, these guys are slamming, like, our nation's song, and it's one of those things that I think is so reverent and so meaningful and so powerful that when, you know, somebody just takes their will to be comedic about it, it's one of those things that you just, it's kind of like, you know, it's a fart at the funeral, okay? You just don't want to do that. It's one of those things that, you know, you hold it back. You have a little reverence. There's many men and women have fallen for the flag and for that song and for this nation and for which she stands. And it's one of those things that for comedic relief, I think it steps over a boundary. And that's what the Star Spangled Banner Challenge was initially set out to do. All we wanted was 1 million hits on YouTube. We said, let's just see if we can get 1 million hits on our video and see how it goes. And that's what we did. We started out with 1 million hits and we succeeded. We ended up actually getting the 1 million hits on the exact day that the Star Spangled Banner was actually penned by Francis Scott Key. So there was some divine intervention there, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the banner was, you know, the writing, it was a lot like another song. It was, you know, a brainchild of mine that I kind of sat down with. I was told not to mess with it many, many times. They're like, you know, people are too sensitive about it. You can't really do a version that's going to work and with a rock style mentality. And I disagreed, and I just sort of, you know, attacked it. With the same way I would take on any other challenge and any other, you know, song. And I said, let's get it down to what it really is and keep the reverence and keep the beauty and the majesty of the song. And, I think it comes through in the song. And I think that the people that hear it for the first time, they get it. It's not one of those things where you're kind of questionable. There's still the standard, people that are diehards for the old originals, but, most people really realize from 8 years old to 80 years old, they realize, you know, this is a really cool way for kids to enjoy this song and for people of a new era and a new generation to pass it on. And I think that's what Madison Rising did with it. So that's basically it.
Well, that's excellent. You know, I just really liked the song for the first time I heard it. It is new. It's fresh. It's relevant, especially now. And I do believe it, you know, it's got a little bit of that Jimi Hendrix thing going on and, you know, part of it. And I really enjoyed it. And now, how are you doing on the challenge? I know you've upped your challenge from the original 1 million likes or hits.
Yeah, we did. We actually upped it to 5 million just to see if we could get it. We're trying to get the 5 million hits by July 4th. So if your listeners can go out there, get it on their Facebook, get it viral, and, you know, and get it pushing. We're averaging a couple thousand hits a day, but obviously I think we're almost to 4 million. And if we could get 1 million by July 4th, I think it would just be, or 5 million, I'm sorry, by July 4th, it would really, really show some divine intervention, because we've really been in a sort of a downslope right now as far as, you know, the amount of hits that we've gotten. But part and partial, and you were talking about how conservatives are under attack, is, you know, the reason that, I don't know if you heard about this, but they pulled the video off of Facebook.
Oh, no. I did not hear that.
Yeah, it was actually banned from Facebook. The banner was banned on Facebook. So it really hurt
us. Sad. That is sad. Is it back on?
It is now. You're allowed to post it. It was one of those things that we had 4 days of the broadest and the biggest virality on Facebook. We've had internet and web page, email, kind of like it went viral through emails and things like that, but we've never had a hit on Facebook. And basically what happened was we had 3 days that it just grew. It was like we got 20,000 hits, and then it was like we got 40,000 hits, and then we got 100,000 hits, and then the next day it went down to like 300. And we were like, what just happened? We were on our way. It was moving. I mean, it was literally, quote-unquote, going viral. And people started, you know, bombarding our emails and our Facebooks and our Twitter accounts and everything. They're like, why did you pull your video down? Why did you take it off of Facebook? And we're like, we most definitely did not do that, because that's what we count on. And it was one of those deals that, you know, turns out Facebook basically blocked it. They called it spam, and they wouldn't let it be passed around, shared, or anything. And they never gave us a response. The response was, oh, don't worry about it. It's fixed now. But that was a month later. And, you know, it really hurt us. It really pulled the wind out of our sails. We were really moving. We probably would have reached the 5 million by now, but,
wow.
It, you know, it's strange how the world works sometimes.
Well, I'm going to be sending out links to that with an email announcing you on our call. So that's going to go to a few thousand people, and hopefully they'll turn right around and forward that out and open up their Facebook accounts and hit the like button.
Very cool. Well, yeah, make sure that they know to do that. Make sure they know that there's a challenge and there's a goal to reach, and we're working towards that goal. After that's the Super Bowl challenge. And then we're done. I don't know what we're going to do after the Super Bowl.
So are you booked for the Super Bowl?
And, no, we're not booked for the Super Bowl. But
oh.
I met Boomer Esiason yesterday. I was hanging out with Boomer Esiason in Long Island, and I kept dropping hints. I'm like, so, Boomer, who do you know on the Super Bowl committee for the Star Spangled Banner? He's like, I'm working on it, buddy. I'm working on it. But, yeah, man, it was pretty cool hanging out with him. I think he got tired of me, though, pretty quick, like, keep bombarding him with, you know, Super Bowl questions.
Oh, well, I tell you, get us information. We'll bombard him. So we're good at that.
Cool.
So tell me, in your world of music, how are you received by the industry?
Well, the music industry itself has basically self-destructed. It's fallen apart and it's actually a good thing because, you know, people can actually do something with their careers and musical careers because the music industry isn't in the way. Now, don't get me wrong. They're still feeding into the ideas, and they're much like Hollywood. They put up things on a screen that they want to entice and to use, you know, their agendas. I mean, if you don't think that Hollywood and the music industry is politically charged, then you're just absolutely insane. Because, I mean, look, if you look at the list of people that have been invited to the White House, it's like Jay-Z, Beyonce, that kind of stuff. So, if you don't think that there's politics behind pop culture and behind, you know, the behind the scenes of, you know, even down to gun rights and things like that. But, I mean, every movie has a gun in it. It's one of those things that it's so cliche, catch-22, that it's shoved down your throat, but you're not allowed to have it. You know, look, but don't touch. Touch, but don't taste. Taste, you know, don't swallow, that kind of thing. And it's kind of a good thing that we're not affiliated with a giant like Atlantic Records or Epic Records, because we'd be just another box on the shelf to them. We get to do this how we want to do it, which, don't get me wrong, it's not the easiest path. It'd be nice if somebody just wrote a check for $2 million and said, here, go do your deal. But, you know, it's a tough path. We know it's an uphill road, but I think everything that is worth fighting for is definitely, you know, it's validated in the end, and, you know, you get your gold star at the end of the rainbow, so to speak. So that's my thoughts about the music industry. And as far as being received, we've sat down with people at Big Boy or Bad Boy Entertainment, and they actually were one of the ones that were interested. But they, you know, their agendas and our agendas just didn't mesh. It wasn't like, they're like, well, you know, your other stuff is very politically charged. And I said, yeah. And it was one of those things where, you know, we just didn't see eye to eye on politics. So, like I said, if you don't think politics is involved in high business and big music and big Hollywood, then you're very, very much mistaken, unfortunately. So,
right.
Leave it at that.
Well, we're just glad that you know, we've got someone out there. I mean, I've turned you on to my kids and my grandkids onto your music, and they're all loving it. So, I'm just glad that there's an alternative for us out there as well. And
well,
like Lil Wayne.
That's the other thing. Yeah, we can talk about Lil Wayne if you want, but. That's the other thing. I'm a father of two sons, and I know, you know, I grew up listening to, like, Jerry Rafferty and Car Wash and just, you know, Spyro Gyra and Hooked on Classics and The Police. And, like, that music is really, really great. It's all the stuff that it culminates in who I am. It's what I grew up with. And, you know, I think we all carry some of that early music that we hear in our lives. And like you said, you pass it down to your kids. You know, I consider it an honor to be a part of somebody's life, you know, memory as a child, and that childhood memories are the most valuable of all, in my opinion. And if you have a childhood memory of the first time you heard the Madison Rising version of the Star Spangled Banner, and you're going to carry that with you for the rest of the life, then that to me is more valuable than any gold or, you know, any money or monetary item. It's just one of those things that I get to give it to my kids firsthand. And, you know, the fact that you give it to your grandkids, those childhood memories are important. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do, and I'm just really glad that there's a good role model out there. And you are former military, right?
Yeah, I was actually United States Navy. I think there's some other Navy folks out there somewhere. But I ended up with the Marine Corps. I was actually a corpsman, not a corpsman, like our buddy Obi-Wan Kenobi likes to call us.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we try to keep our people alive, not dead. So we're not corpsmen, we're corpsmen. And it was one of those things that, you know, I enjoyed it. On the blue side, I was an EMT for a little while and on an ambulance crew and crew chief in an ambulance for a little bit in Naval Hospital Charleston. And then I ended up going to the green side and ended up with the Marines in Camp Lejeune, North Carolina with a sniper team. So, I mean, I've run the gamut. I've done a lot of things, you know, militarily. And, you know, those are some of those memories you think back to. But, they also shape who you are. You know, as a military guy, you carry a lot of those things around, man. You keep them with you.
Absolutely. And I do want to thank you for your service.
Sure, thank you.
Well, I want to open this up to our panel. And if for anyone that has a question of Dave, don't be shy.
Anybody got any questions?
Yeah, Dave, I appreciate your military service as well. This is John.
Hey, John, how you doing, man? Well, thank you.
Just
thank you
fine.
Also.
Yes.
And, you know, you served as well?
No, I did not serve, but I had a grandfather that did. And,
okay.
And to me, the people that serve in the military should have one of the highest honors in this country, and they get left behind, and they like medical care, and you guys put your lives on the line every day, and I really appreciate that, being an American, and you guys should be honored beyond belief, and you're not, and I just think that's so sad, so I can't say it enough.
Well, no worries. I appreciate that, and thank you. And, you know, I also come from a military family. My brother is also enlisted Navy, and so is my father. So, you know, we're all Navy cats. We all did our time, and I was the only one who ended up with the Marines, though. I'm not sure really how that happened. I kind of feel like I got hornswoggled or something. I'm not sure.
Well, I'm a Navy mom, and my son, even though he was blue and he stayed blue, he did the green, and he was in Iraq for a year. And,
oh, wow.
So, yeah, that was kind of an odd deal, too. But, and my husband is ex-Navy. We have Brett LaRue on the line with us, who's ex-Navy. So this is a blue call.
Yeah, absolutely. Good Navy.
Yeah.
We got to open up the Army-Navy lacrosse game a couple months ago. It was pretty cool. I'm sorry, it wasn't lacrosse. It was rugby.
Oh.
An Army-Navy rugby match, and we got to play the Star Spangled Banner at that. That was pretty neat. We get to do all kinds of events. That's pretty much our, you know, our forte is the Star Spangled Banner, obviously. But we do other songs, you know, America the Beautiful, and we have a song called American Dream and Soldiers of America. I mean, everything is obviously very, very patriotic with this band and what we do, and that's what's kind of cool. It opens up doors to things that other bands don't get the opportunities to do, and you know, it's definitely a blessing, man. It's one of those things that I'm pretty proud of. So,
well, we're pretty proud of you too. I want to make sure. Does anyone else have anything they'd like to say? Questions, comments at all for Dave?
Yeah, Jeannie, this is Brett.
Go ahead, Brett.
Yeah, and I really do appreciate your service. How much does that play into? I think that people don't really understand the mentality of the service. And the honor that it is to serve in the military for the United States, and listening to the lyrics of your songs and what you put into it, how much of your experience in the military and the things that you've seen goes into your music? It appears to me that it really weighs into it.
Well, it should. I mean, it should speak pretty loud. I mean, with any, just as much as any other musician, you know, or any other artist in general, I think that it comes through as who you are is definitely like, it's like a soul picture, you know what I mean? Of the kind of person that's inside of, you know, that, you know, whatever piece of art you're looking at. And, you know, it's just, it's one of those things that it should ring pretty clear about where I stand and the kind of guy I am and what I believe in. And especially as far as the military is concerned, I mean, Soldiers of America was the first song that Madison Rising ever wrote. It was the first one that I actually heard music to. One of the guys sent to me, and I sat down and wrote Soldiers of America in about 3 minutes, and I was just like, this song, this stuff is cool, man. This is what I need to be doing, and My wife even said, she's like, you know, I've never seen you write a song that fast in my life. I was just like, it just kind of spoke to me, you know. And you know, I'm obviously a believer. I'm a faith man as well. And you know, like I believe in divine intervention. I believe in the fact that, you know, the Star Spangled Banner, it hit its 1 million mark on the date it was written. I think that was, you know, I think that that was the right hand at work. And you know, I'm one of those guys that I have faith, and I believe with faith and, you know, enough hard work and, you know, the right message and the right idea, and I think you can do just about anything still in this country.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate your work, and definitely we're believers as well. And, you know, I think that the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it's clear in your music, to me anyway, having a military background, that, you know, that you're speaking from your heart when you do your stuff. So we really appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, the second album also that we've been working on, I mean, it's really starting to resonate. I think it really resonates towards more of the troop mentality, team mentality, and, you know, some of the, even the harder strife that goes into some of that. I mean, I don't want to call the first album anything negative, but it's sort of generic in a way that, you know, I think we sort of had to spell out what we were doing and sort of lay out like our ideas on a platter for people to see, like, hey, this is our agenda. This is what we are doing. We know how Hollywood works. We know how big music works. This is what Madison Rising is doing. This is our agenda. Our agenda is actually to go out there and do this for this purpose. And it's really, truly is patriotism is becoming the counterculture in this world. And it's where music was born anyway. And some great music, rock music, came from the counterculture in the 60s. So it's like this full circle of now patriotism is the counterculture all of a sudden, you know, like you said, with Lil Wayne and, you know, the guy's stamping all over the flag like it's, you know, just a, you know, piece of dirt. And it's unbelievable that nobody out of that entire audience of people like went out of their way to like snatch his little butt off that flag. Like that really, and the fact that it just laid there was, it was heartbreaking. It was tough for me to watch. I turned around from that video and I looked down at my kid, and my son goes, what are you watching? And I couldn't show him. I didn't want him to see that. I didn't want it's like all the pornography, you know what I mean? It's like one of the things that you just don't do that. And now, you know, this guy thinks he can get away with it. You know, I say we start putting marks on these people and you know, give them the five fingers on the back and say, hey man, you know what? Good job. I'm proud of you for what you've done. But, you know, I think we as a society need to start shunning, unfortunately, or turning our backs on these people and quit giving them our money and quit letting our kids listen to them, because it's just ridiculous. It's gotten to a point that it needs to stop. And we're a country at war, and that's just unacceptable.
That is so true. It's sad that no one objected to his behavior. And it's sad that you and others, you know, are out there on the line fighting to make sure that he has the opportunity to even say that in the first place.
Right.
So I want to make sure I catch everyone here that would like to say, ask a question or make a comment with David.
This is Brenda.
Yeah, Brenda.
Hi, Brenda.
Yeah, just a couple of things. You had said that this idea was the brainchild of someone else, but apparently it really struck a chord with you and all the members of your band. So I'd like you to comment a little further on that, if you would. And then you were saying too, well, I'll give you the second part, and then I'll just let you talk. And then you said you're not sure what you're going to do after it hits the mark. You know, do you have any inclination, or, you know, what do you foresee this mission that you're on? So I'd just like you to comment on that, if you would.
That's good. You know what? I have been so wrapped up in this image of playing the Super Bowl. This whole thing came as a dream. The Star Spangled Banner came as a dream. And I basically walked all I can remember is being ice cold and freezing in my dream. And I walk out in front of these people, and it was like, it felt like the entire world was seeing it for some reason. I don't know why, but that's what the dream was about. And then I started singing a song. And I'm not sure if it was the Star Spangled Banner in the dream, but I just start singing. I just remember my head going down and my hand going up to plug in to the upstairs. And I just remember that feeling. And ever since then, I have been obsessed with the Super Bowl. And my manager's like, it's not going to happen, man. You're dreaming, you know, this, that, and the other. I was like, it hasn't not happened yet. Okay. So don't tell me it can't happen. So I've been very, very wrapped up in that as being my goal right now. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I'm praying heavily on that. And it's like I said, if that happens, I think the next door will open. If it doesn't happen, then I continue on the route that I'm going. But right now, I just think that I'm waiting for my next communication or my, you know what I mean, from you know, the higher power. I can't say that, like, I'm this, you know, speaker of anything. It's a little, I don't want to say blasphemous, but I just feel like I've always been connected. But I just think when after this song started doing what it was doing and I saw how powerful it was and who it was resonating to, I knew then that the mission changed. It wasn't just about playing patriotic rock music. This song is from a different time, from 200 years ago, were these words written. So, and they've lasted this long. So it means something. And it means something to somebody here, and it means a lot to somebody upstairs. So just all those things put together are part of this. Now, you asked me what would happen next. I don't know if that door opens. I would continue to do what I do. I just, you know, continue to try to write the best music I can possibly do, keep with the message, keep with the idea of, you know, using patriotic rock music to instill childhood memories and, you know, give somebody a little token of patriotism or whatever to take with them for the rest of their lives. You asked, the other question was about Rich, and Rich is definitely one of the most hardworking managers that you're going to find in the music industry or in any business. He's just a bulldog, and he goes out there and just chomps away at the concrete, and he does all the things that we as a band would never ever think to do. He goes above and beyond to do that. And Rich has written a couple books. His last name is Negredesian. It's spelled really weird. But he's written a couple books that are obviously right-wing, conservative, you know, politically charged books that have been published. And if you ever get a chance to look up Rich Negredesian or the book How the Left Was Won, it's a pretty interesting insight about how liberal mentalities work and the type of divisiveness and how they, you know, change the appearance of things to work in their way. And just like big music and big Hollywood and all those things, like, he really dives into that, and it really goes into the, you know, the substrat of what we as a band are sort of all about. It's like, we are definitely a band on a mission, and we definitely know what that mission is. And he's definitely was the guy who said it'd be awesome if I was a musician, because I wouldn't have to worry about, you know, writing white papers on books. I could do music. And then that's where, you know, I kind of fit the mold to sort of speak, I guess you can say, for him, because he's not a musician. So it was definitely two, a group of minds coming together, and, you know, we work pretty well as a team.
Uh-huh. Well, thank you. It sounds like then you kind of got a revelation, and so you're following it, and then when that's fulfilled or it changes, you're kind of listening for the next one. Is that a correct statement?
Yeah, absolutely. I believe that 100%. I mean, you know, you're given a blink on this planet, and I just can't imagine living without faith. It would just, I mean, that's just a crushing sentence. You know, it's not even a life. It's just a sentence. So, I mean, that's like one of those things that, I probably, like I said, I set high goals, and I believe heavily, and that's what I do.
So Dave, speaking of revelations, tell us about this extra verse to the Star Spangled Banner.
The extra verse, that was where I got emotional, and I didn't know if it was going to be kosher or not. I didn't know how it was going to go over. Nobody else wanted to do it. It was like faux pas to the max, like extremed out, like, we cannot add words to this song. It's just not going to happen. I said, if you don't do it, then it's not going to be ours. We're not going to be able to be a part of what it is. And you know, if you go through the actual words of that song, the addendum is what we've been referring it to or as, is because we are the brave. You know, it's why we are America. Yes, we are brave. We're still brave. We're a country at war. We will fight tyranny. You know, we don't want to fight anybody, but we will. If it comes down to it, we will. And it is in the name of freedom that we do these things. And that's all these things are this is where the emotion of the song kind of captivated me. And I wanted to do a four verse version with all the verses, but they're not as well known. And it ended up getting too long. And I wanted to kind of captivate what was sort of in some of those pieces. And that was basically where the verses came from. And actually the song started from that part, and then it went back. I said, how do I fit this into this song? And that's how we had to basically, that's how I had to build the structure of the song and compose it. So it was definitely a part of it. And it, you know, I feel as though it conveys what that song is about, and it conveys what you should be kind of feeling when you're listening to that song. So, I mean, did what I could.
Well, that is, that's the relevant part, I believe, of what you guys have done. Is for the, you know, the time that we're in now, that is what makes it relevant. That's what makes it fresh.
Right.
And I really, really liked it a lot. You can feel the passion when you're singing that verse. It's so different when you're listening to it.
Right.
Anyone else have comments or questions?
This is Jim.
Yes, Jim.
Thank you, Dave, for your service. I saw in your bio where you won the Top Dog Award. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, actually, Top Dog Award is sort of like Top Gun, except for it's for guys trying to get into the Marine Corps for being a medic or a doc. There's about 160 cats that go through. Each class is actually composed of four different classes. That have roughly, about maybe 50, almost 50 guys, 35 guys or something like that. So you go in and they just, it's basically the exact same thing as it's a Marine Corps boot camp style mentality. They break you down. They do everything that, they take the Navy out of you, and they want you to be a Marine. And that's what they do for that class. And, it's basically if you show signs of leadership, you show signs of achievement, you know, physically as well as mentally, you can, you know, score well on tests and you score well physically and you can run a PFT and, you know, you're setting, you know, an example, I guess, for everybody else. And it came down to me and four other guys, and I'm best friends still with the other guy who didn't get it, he's got this wall of fame down in his basement that has a hole where my award is supposed to be. He's like, it's pretty funny. He's like, I'm still waiting for you to send my Top Dog Award over here. he keeps a hole in his wall. I'm going to give it to him one day, but whatever. It's one of those deals that it's a plaque that goes on the wall, and it just says that, you know, you did a little bit more than what was asked. And it's just an award. It's one of those things that one out of every 160 cats gets it, and that's it. So.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks, man. Appreciate
very
that.
Very good.
We're also people of faith like you, and it's impossible to read your Bible without noticing that whenever Israel went to war, a lot of times the people with the music were out front. So that's
right.
Kind of the way we, you and others, is that we really need to have music to kind of rally around.
Right.
So just encourage you and your band as you go forward to continue your productivity, and it's good that we have people like you that can set an example, especially for the young people in this country. If we can reach out to them and get them to understand, you know, how far we've come from our roots and how far it's going to take us to get back there. So if we can get some of those ideas out to the American people through music, that's a great thing.
Absolutely, I couldn't agree more, man. I think you're right on the page. And you talk about war and music. I mean, it goes back to the pipers. It goes back to some of the early days of the drums. You know, the war drums of the tribesmen. It's always been there. The war drums have always sounded. And you know, what's funny is I get, you know, people on my Facebook, they jump on there, you know, serving in Afghanistan or, you know, God knows where in the desert. And, you know, they're like, dude, yesterday in our convoy, we hooked up every speaker we had
And we all blasted the Star Spangled Banner on our convoy, and everybody was just jacked up. And I'm like, man, that is what I make music for, dude. Trust me. That is what I'm talking about. So, if it can get to those guys and they know that we're supporting them out here and, doing what we can, I think that they're not the only ones that need it, but I think the rest of the country needs it also. But, when I get messages from these cats overseas that are like, into it, man, and these guys are 19 years old. I mean, they strap on a weapon every day and they throw an MRE in their mouth and they go to work, and that is their day. And I'm like, wow. So, God bless them. God bless our troops. And, if we can just get this thing turned around with the way we treat our flag and the way we treat this country and the kind of people we are in this nation, I think that there's a chance. There's still a hope. And I got as much faith in the Super Bowl as I got in that. And that's a lot. So I just think I don't think this country, I'm not ready to quit on it yet. And I don't think anybody should be, but I think a lot of people have. And I think there's still time to change some minds out there.
Well, Dave, I really appreciate you spending the time with us today. You and Madison Rising are an inspiration. And we will do our best to help spread the message on the challenge. I'm going to ask you for permission for us to play the Star Spangled Banner as the intro to our call. And I don't want to do that without permission from you.
Absolutely. And you don't need, that's not my song. That's everybody's song. So bank it up loud and proud, man.
Okay, I appreciate that.
And thanks for having me on. And God bless you guys. I have to step off right now. I'm in transit, and I'm going to lose you because I think I'm going to go into a tunnel. So thank you so much for having me on. I really, really appreciate you guys, doing what you're doing. Keep up the good work, and don't give up on this country. There's still plenty left to worth fighting for.
Thank you, Dave. God bless, and happy birthday.
Thank you, sir.
Take care, guys.
And we will try to hook up with you when you get to Indy.
All right, man. We'll do it.
Okay, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I do hope that you enjoyed this interview with Dave Bray. He just seems like a really great guy. We all enjoyed very much our time speaking with him. Before I leave you this evening, I do want to make a couple of announcements. I would like to remind everyone to please continue sending letters to our president, James Timothy Turner. It does make his day go just a little better. He does love hearing from everyone, so I'm going to give that address out again. You can send letters to James Timothy Turner, number 99120, followed by the letters M as in Mary, C as in Charlie, D as in David, F as in Frank, at Post Office Box 4599, Montgomery, Alabama, 36103. And for those of you that would like to send donations for his expenses, you can send those to God's Will Be Done Ministry, and that's at 3040 Southeast Persons Court, Portland, Oregon, 97267. And please do put in the memo that this is for President Turner. Our segment that we have, Treading Waters with Roger Waters, we've put that off a week because of tonight's special broadcast. But he will be back next Thursday, and he is doing a segment on chemtrails. He's been working now all week on that, and he's found some more information. That should be a real good report from him, so please do tune back in next Thursday to hear from Roger. And Brenda, help me if I'm forgetting something. I think that we've covered everything that we needed to cover tonight. Do go to YouTube and look and put in Star Spangled Banner Challenge, and click on the little button that you like it. Please, on the email that you received tonight, you'll find links to their website as well. With that said, Governor Owens, would you like to close our call in prayer? And Brenda, my board is frozen. Can you unmute him for me?
Can you hear me now?
I can. Thank you.
Father, we just thank you again for your grace and mercy to us, for all that you are doing for us, for answering prayers, Father. for your protection, for your love. Father, we thank you that we are in the greatest country that's since history began, as far as we can tell. Father, and we ask that you help and give us the strength and the perseverance to push this thing over the top, to continue forward and to bring your republic, restore it as you designed. Father, give us great wisdom and understanding. We thank you that you are you're just leading our way, Father. Watch over each one this week. We pray for protection and wisdom for each one, and we thank you for all you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Governor. Good night, everyone. Have a great week. I'm going to leave you with Madison Rising, the Star-Spangled Banner. And Brenda, would you click that for me? Because my board is frozen. It won't let me do that.
Sure. Hold on here.
Thanks. Welcome, everyone, to Republic News Network. This evening is a special...
I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
No, no, no.